Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
It's a real sexy Sunday afternoon here.
Yeah, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm just lounging about in some Adidas track pants.
Oh, man, way to go.
You know, it's teasing fall up here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And man, if I wasn't so riddled with anxiety, anxiety about an upcoming winter, fall really is great. But it's always a whole season full of Sundays kind of feeling, you know?
Oh, you mean like wherever you can enjoy fall, such as Chicago or Oregon, a horrible winter is sure to follow?
Yeah, or just winter in general. It's like, oh, this fall, it's not a thing that's going to last, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make the most of it. I was out, just out trying to be a rad dude a little bit yesterday, today. Rachel's out of town. It's me and little D hanging, yeah, watching scary movies.
There you go, buddy.
Which we'll talk about on the regular episode.
So you got rad, though?
I think. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to feel better. I'm building up to rad.
What'd you do?
Just went out to some bike trails and went to some, it's weird, you know, everything's rated like how ski trails are rated, where it's like green, blue, black diamond type stuff, except mm-hmm. the people who rate them aren't consistent. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, I can pretty confidently just fly down some blue trails. I was on a blue trail day. I was like, oh man. And the weird thing is there's always like a side, like, okay, this is the trail you're going down, but if you just go to this one to the left, which if you're not paying attention to the signs, which you're not because you're going fast, all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, it's like an 8-foot drop off. I'm like, fuck.
Damn. So,
but it was all right. We did all right.
Well, that's good.
And, yeah, man, just kicking it, dude. What about you? What's going on with yourself?
Oh, man, I've been sick for like a week. I'm all clogged.
Talked about it, man. Get a test. You gotta get tested, dude.
Dave. Yeah, I'll probably go get tested.
You buy them right in the store now. You just spit in a thing. It's like a pregnancy test.
The only reason I'm confident it's not the Rona is just this is a very familiar illness to me. I get this about once a year, every couple years, right around the seasons changing. Just complete head cold. You know, can't
what season? What
nose.
Season has changed in Southern California? What's changed in the last?
It dipped from 85 to 75 in the course of just a few weeks. So,
it's intense. Over a few weeks, it changed.
Pretty intense transition.
10 degrees up here. It goes from like it's like close to 100 during the day, then it's 60 at night.
Mm-hmm. Man, I do miss fall. Going back to fall, man. That's the one thing I don't – well, not the one thing, but that's one of the main things I don't like about Southern California. The weather is obviously beautiful, but, man, I miss a good, hearty fall. Just, brisk, leaves changing. I miss that so much.
Well
– here it's just, you know, it's just pretty all the time.
You got some traveling coming up. You'll see a little change up here in your Northern California.
But no, just a bad head cold for about a week. But like I said, I'll go get a test, but I don't think it's the Rona just because this is it's just so familiar. This just happens to me a lot. So just
I don't know. I think any sickness right now, go get tested for the Rona.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can get an answer immediately?
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes or something.
Okay. That's cool.
So
what are people doing now? Vaccinated people, we were talking off air about some buddies that have gotten it. What does a vaccinated person do if they catch COVID? Same as you did a year and a half ago? before the vaccine? Just quarantine and
yeah, hope you get better? take care of yourself and hide out. Yeah, stay away from folks.
Are there any meds? I know the meds are in the news now with the horse shit and all that, but like, are there any legit meds? Like, hey, take this and it'll work with your vaccination to improve your symptoms.
That I don't know. That I don't know what the treatments are for that kind of thing, but saying, man, got them sniffles, dog, hanging out with your father-in-law.
Oh man, yeah,
he's paying for that wedding. You gotta make sure he's healthy enough to go to it.
That's true. Yeah, I went over to his place last week. He turned 80, so we had an 80-year-old's birthday party, and a lot of senior citizens.
Yeah, how'd they get down?
They got down pretty good. A lot of them were half lit. Like, red wine with ice cubes, and a lot of cake off of paper plates and wine. And
I wouldn't argue a red wine with an ice cube when it's hot out.
Yeah, he loves the red wine with the ice cube. And then the nephew, or his grandson, Katie's nephew, who's only 16, was playing bartender, and he was making everybody Cadillac margaritas. I don't know why. Ooh. He got on a real Cadillac margarita kick, this kid, and makes a mean one. Puts the Grand Marnier, the tequila and the Grand Marnier in a separate shot, and he hands it to you in a separate glass, and okay, dump it in. He likes seeing people dump it in, and it's a whole to-do. Really? So he was just making margaritas all day.
It's a pretty good time. That was the last drink I had. It was a month ago. It was a Presidente margarita over at the Chili's.
Now, what's that?
Chili's in Orem. Just an upsell. Just an easy upsell for your boy. They had a big banner up in the bar. I'm like, I want one of those. I don't think it's any different than a regular margarita, but they left a little plastic shaker with me, like, oh, there's extra. But the margarita glass was so small. Of course there's extra. But that's the last drink. Been a month, man.
Way to go, dude. That's impressive.
Yeah, I wish there was a bigger swing one way or another. Like, I wish I was like, fuck, man, I feel so much better. Or I wish I was like, God damn, I'm really itching for a drink.
Yeah.
Because at least that way I would know I had a problem. Now I'm just kind of like, well, whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just not drinking because there hasn't been a reason to drink.
Yeah. I hear you, man. It's good to take a break every now and then.
I guess.
Clean it out.
Never gone this long. We'll see.
Oh, man.
Well, this is the bonus episode.
Yeah.
For the wonderful people who are still throwing a couple bucks towards the Patreon. And we appreciate that. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. I want to apologize in advance for my sniffles and my breathing. You know, I can't breathe through my fucking nose, so I'm just a mouth breather.
Not a lot's changed, Dave. It's all right. Just you. Mouth breathing on a treadmill holding kettlebells.
Dude, I just knocked out an hour on the treadmill with the weighted vest. Dude, that'll get you going.
Is it like a regular vest that you're just putting stuff into pockets, or it's a legit?
it's just a cargo vest I put canned goods in until I get up to 35 pounds. No, it drapes over you kind of like a vest. It's more like it feels like a bulletproof vest.
Like a dentist bib? Like a dentist x-ray bib?
Yes, it does kind of feel like a very heavy dentist bib.
Well, because that's those lead bibs they put on you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like a cargo vest, but yeah, and then there's like built-in pockets that have like little 2 or 3 pound weights, and then there's, you know, a dozen or so of those scattered about. But man, anyway, I don't know how I got started on that. My head's all over the place too.
It's great. This is what people are paying for. This is what they want to know. They're paying for sniffling, incoherent Dave. This is how we really keep people to give up. This is really how we retain customers, is with this high quality bonus content. I'm having some Forged Coffee Roasters coffee right now. Shout out to our pal in Reno, Nevada at Forged Coffee Roasters.
Hell yeah, man. How is it?
Not a sponsor, just a nice dude and he gave me a good coffee, and I'm enjoying it today.
What blend did he give you?
I do not remember which one this is. I don't remember. I got a few of them. But been keeping me going strong all day. But these are the questions you guys want answered.
Yeah.
And we're here to do that.
Yeah. We're going to A you right in the queue.
Yeah, let's
get into it.
You know what? I'm going to go Brandon Howard. Dave and Kyle win and split a $500 million lottery ticket. Mm. What's something cool you'd like to do for the Boogie Monster and personally with the money? So that's $250 million each, Dave.
That's pretty good.
And then, you know what? With that kind of money, we could finally quit doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what we'd do.
Because really, this is what's keeping us afloat, is this, very specifically these Patreon episodes.
We could buy some new mics.
We can probably, yeah, we probably throw a few money at the tech.
That's a fun question. So what would we do specifically with the Boogie Monster, not just in general? What would you do?
I think I'd buy Skinwalker Ranch and put a comedy club in there.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that.
And make it like an Airbnb, too. You can come, stay, enjoy the ranch, see a comedy show.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, I don't know, man. There's a lot I'd like to do, but I was talking to a buddy about this the other day. You know, it would be, if you had that kind of money, just crazy money, I would like to buy a radio station. No one listens to radio anymore, at least music radio, I'm assuming. But what if you had, what if LA had like a really dope, cool little radio station that wasn't necessarily commercial, wasn't dependent on advertisers and ratings and all that shit? Just, I don't care if this thing makes money or not, but it's on the air 24/7. I'm gonna turn it into my own cool little jukebox.
Dude, that was, I'm gonna find the name of that radio station they had. It was 103.1. I forget what. That's a Mexican channel. It was. I mean, it was still like a clear channel thing, but they had the morning show was Dickie Barrett from the Boston's.
Really?
And they would just play whatever kind of stuff. Like, I heard Peg Boy on there. It was like Dickie Barrett playing whatever music he liked. Like, they clearly did not have, like, you could tell they had some programming to it. But they let all these different disc jockeys, like Dickie Barrett was on, and then one of the dudes from the Vandals, who's a lawyer now, would take legal questions as part of it. And then
really,
and then the radio stuff. It was I think it's Steve Jones. Was that who had it? Yeah, it was Steve Jones had Jonesy's Jukebox at Lunch. He's from the Sex Pistols. And he would always just fuck off. Like, the show would start, and he'd have this big intro music, and then you just hear him fucking around in the studio, like, whistling and getting some papers together.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Like, and the whole channel, it was, like, it was rock and this and that, but they were playing whatever they wanted to play, and it was really great. It was a really great radio station for how long it lasted.
Yeah. Like I said, like I'm assuming not many people listen to radio anymore, and I get it because, you know, you got
not much of a reason to.
But the one thing that radio gives you that you can't give yourself, well, maybe you can with what's the word I'm looking for? I'm rambling, dude. I'm sorry. I'm really foggy-headed. When you make a playlist, a shuffle. Okay, you could surprise yourself with shuffle. But my point is, the one cool thing about a radio station is that element of surprise. Oh, shit, I didn't know I was about to hear this song. And unless you shuffle your own playlist, you're always in control. You always know, you know, you put in a CD or you put on an album or whatever. You know what's coming, you know, for the most part. But I just always loved that element of surprise, especially if the songs were great. Like, holy shit, that song, and then this song, and then that song, damn. And, man, that'd be fun. That'd be fun to have.
That's, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. It was Indy 103.1. And it is, it's exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
How Yeah, it quickly grew in popularity among listeners around the Los Angeles area and around the world, although due to limited signal range, it was never a ratings winner. Rolling Stone called it coolest commercial radio station and best radio station in the country. And, yeah, because they just had no programming. It was just like, mm-hmm. You're a DJ, play what you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree that that would be a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Invite people over. Like, hey, you just won. You get to be a DJ for a night.
Mm-hmm.
You won the contest. Come on in and play whatever music you want to play.
Did I ever tell you when I was in radio years ago, probably my second or third year in radio, I lived in the same apartment complex as my boss. And my boss was only like a year or two older than me. So he was like 23 and I was like 21, 22. And we both lived in the same complex. But he was really... He was the program director of this station in Gainesville, Georgia that I worked at. But he was really into, like, the engineering side. He was really smart in terms of all the engineering stuff. And he actually, in his apartment, he figured out how to make his own little radio station. Like, he figured out how to make a transmitter and a little tower mm-hmm. and whatever. And it was an actual frequency. You could tune in. I forgot whatever the frequency was. It was lower on the dial. It was FM, so like 89 something or 90 point something, whatever. But mm-hmm. and it would actually go out for about a 3 or 4 mile radius. So like you could drive 3 or 4 miles down the road and still hear his dumb little homemade pirate radio station that he ran out of his apartment. And
pump
man,
up
I
the volume
so
style.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. And he'd go home, you know, after his shift being on a real radio station, he'd go home and then he'd tell me like, hey, if you want to come over, I forgot what term, like he would say I'm spinning tonight or I'm on the air. But anyway, he would just work like a 4 or 5 hour shift just for the fuck of it, knowing that probably nobody was listening because, I mean, who knew about it? And even if you knew about it, you had to be within that 2 or 3 mile radius.
But I mean, like, he was how many insane. Podcasts? How many podcasts are recorded
true.
And played and unlistened?
Yeah, ahead of his time. But he liked just the concept of like technically, I'm broadcasting on public airwaves tonight, playing exactly what I want to play, even if no one's listening. So. Even on that small scale, that was interesting. So I would love to one day do that on a legitimate scale. But
yeah, that's
cool,
man.
All I need is, you know, about $5 million to get a radio license and a tower. And
well,
all that
you
shit.
Would have it because that was the whole point of the question.
Right. Yes. There we go. So let's make that happen. Let's figure out how to get $500 million.
I like that Boogie Monster Radio. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hayden McKinley says, which Olympic event do you think you could get closest to meddling in?
Ooh, great question.
I'm going to look up Summer Olympic events.
I don't know.
There's some hidden ones.
I don't know the name of it, but I always thought I'd be good at this one. It's not the shot put, but it's the, I think they use a shot put, but they put it in that little hammock, that little mini sling. And then they twirl around.
Like a hammer throw type of thing.
Hammer throw. I think that is what it's called. I always thought I could crush the hammer throw. I don't know why I think that. I just thought whenever I saw that as a kid, I was like, I bet I could do that. Even more so than the shot put. Because the shot put's deceiving. Because you're not throwing. You're kind of putting it. And that just seems, there seems to be limitations there physically. You know,
it's weird. I don't even know why they're not showing it. I'm looking at all the events. I'm not seeing that one anymore.
The javelin, I feel like I could sling the javelin pretty far.
Yeah, like none of that's showing up on here. Summer Olympic sports. Let me go to all sports. Maybe that's what I got to do.
That's kind of the limit there for me. I don't think any other sport I would even, definitely nothing in the, you know, track and, I mean, that's track and field, but nothing running.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely wouldn't medal in any running event.
I think I would medal... Probably bobsled because you could just be one of the middle guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, let me just be the guy in the middle. I think I could, with a good team around me, I think I could stay out of the way long enough.
Seinfeld used to have that bit about bobsledding. I can't remember exactly how it went, but the premise was basically it's the only sport you could do just as successfully against your will. like even if you didn't want to. Someone just grabbed you three in there.
Well, there you go. I don't even remember that bit, but that was my reasoning as I'm looking at all. Athletics is just one of the sport. What? What's athletics? It's just, I'm looking at the Olympics. Just athletics is a sport. You know what? I'll say maybe
curling. I bet I could figure out how to get good at curling. That can't be hard. I mean, seriously. I know people say that a lot about niche sports and stuff, but who couldn't, with the proper instruction, figure out how to do curling?
Well, go ahead and say that for all. It's in the Olympics because it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could do. I would love to say table tennis, but I know that shit's hard as hell.
Yeah, no, that's.
I bet. You know what? I'm gonna say artistic swimming.
Oh man.
You know, I think the pressure of having teammates that I wouldn't want it like that. You have to work together. I would think I would flourish because I wouldn't want to let them down. If it's just me, the pressure would be too much. But if it's like, all right, we all got to do this right now, I think I could use that kind of that effort to get me in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my answer for that one. You got a question you want to field here?
Let me see here. What do we got? What do we got? Well, I'm sorry.
Just throw it out there, man. Let it party.
All right, let's see what Jacob, Kyle, any advice for someone wanting to put their toes in the water with being a vegetarian? I did it years ago, but not correctly at all, and I'm still tossing it around. Also, Big Beefy Sauce Daddy has become my favorite thing to call male nurses at work. Thank you.
That seems like it could get you fired real quick.
Big Beefy Sauce Daddy. By the way, might have some BBSD merch pretty soon. I'm working on a Big Beefy Sauce Daddy idea, so we'll see about that.
Hell yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Dave, any reasons why he shouldn't go vegetarian other than the barbecue, he's saying?
Any reason why you should? No, I can't think of a legit reason to not be a vegetarian, right? Unless you're worried about getting enough protein or something. But
man, I'll say though, like, nothing's replaced the meat, though.
Oh, really?
Like when I was on that boat trip, Rachel made all that chicken. She made that like grilled chicken with the shawarma spices on it.
Uh huh.
Fuck, I want ape shit on that. I went crazy in them. Like I gave myself a little break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing. Although I just did make some soup, and I have some kind of, I don't know what brand they were, vegetarian meatballs that I made and threw in there, and those were okay. Listen, if you're trying to be a vegetarian, first off, why? Because for me, it was health reasons. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of the ethics of it.
Uh-huh.
And when it's the ethics, it's kind of easy because all you got to do is watch some YouTube videos of how animals are treated, and you'll be like, oh, I don't want to be a facilitator in that.
Yeah.
And that was stronger for me than the health stuff. It was like, oh, man, a lot of these animals are not having a good time. I wasn't eating like good, like, oh, this is grass-fed and free-range. I was just eating fast food, and, like, that's the worst treated of all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that, like, oh, yeah, they're just, like, there's 500 cows in each McDonald's hamburger, whatever the number is, that they're just all mixed together. And, like, oh, that seems so nonchalant for, like, not a human life, but something that is is alive and exists around us. And I did the stuff I made jokes about, like, well, why not eat a dog? Why do we care so much about certain animals and not others? That affected me. Mm-hmm. So those were the reasons that got me there. But I don't actively buy like a lot of leather products or anything. I'm like, I got to get a belt, and there's a leather belt that I like. I'll buy that leather belt, and that leather belt's going to last for my lifetime or something. I got a leather jacket that I bought, you know, but so I'm not all the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there is a correct way. It's however you want to. What are your reason for doing it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got there.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Jacob. Yeah, I like I've said before, I did it for 3 years, and I didn't do it the correct way either. I all I did was eat bean burritos and cheese pizza, and
yeah. If you like junk food, there's still plenty of junk food out there.
Yeah. I think if I was going to be a vegetarian again, I would really lean into, well, if I was going to be a pescatarian, if I was going to be a vegetarian, I would definitely go your route and be a pescatarian. And I would lean into two things. I would lean into all kinds of crazy seafood, and then I would lean into vegetarian Indian food. I think Indian cuisine is probably the most forgiving to vegetarians, like some of that stuff.
Thai food, rice noodles, dishes with vegetables and tofu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, I've been getting in. Dave, where do you stand on banh mi sandwiches?
Man, I want to like them. I really do. I like what they're trying to do. I like the roll. I like the bread. I like the pork. The carrots and the cucumbers just sometimes are just like, they don't bother me, but it's like, this just seems forced. This just doesn't seem like it belongs. You know, if I'm eating, chomping down on the nice bread and the pork, I don't need little cucumbers and carrots. It's just, I can't get past that. It's not enough to make me not enjoy the sandwich. I'll eat the shit out of a banh mi, but it's enough to where banh mi is middle of the road on my sandwich power rankings because of the cucumber and carrots.
I get that. Yeah. When you're trying to put it up against other sandwiches, sure, man.
Yeah.
A hoagie, big old sub sandwich, it's not anywhere near close to that. But as a vegetarian, those hoagies, unless I get it piled high with fake meat, which turns it into a $30 sub sandwich. Man, ooh, tofu banh mis.
And I was about to ask, what are you doing with the banh mi, vegetarian tofu?
A little tofu. They got the marinated tofu. And then with the stuff, because it is like, oh, I am expecting and prepared to have a lighter, more of a snack than a meal type sandwich. And then when you look at it that way, when you reframe how it fits into your life, perfect little thing to get down on mid-afternoon.
Okay. Huh.
So you got to reframe why you're going at it. Not like, oh, I'm going to get a big, giant, foot-long sub sandwich. It's like, no, it's going to be a little quick, light little snack. And then the carrots and the cucumbers make it like, oh, yeah, this is like, makes it lighter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's my two cents on it.
I get
That's what I'm saying to you. Get into them banh mis, Jacob.
Let's see here. Who else do we have? Is this the same Jacob? I don't know. I'm going for it anyway. Jacob Rivas. Dave, I know you were talking about suit colors for the wedding. I wore a maroon suit for my wedding to kind of pop a little more, and it's the freshest I've ever been in my life. Sorry, no question, but I figured I'm a bigger guy, and I've been there too when it comes to dressing up. It's the freshest he's ever been in his life. Way to go, Jacob. Good for you, buddy. I'm glad you were fresh. I've still never been fresh. I'm hoping to be fresh in about 2 months.
We're gonna get you real cleaned up, real freshened up. I've got Jacob Rivas. It sounds like a Latinx surname. Not to assume here, but it's if you seem like you might have a darker hair, maybe a darker skin tone. That maroon's gonna look great.
Yeah, I can see that working. Yeah, I like that.
Different colors for different skin and hair colors, you know?
Mm-hmm. Good for you, buddy. Yeah, I met with the tailor the other day. I went and got measured. Okay. We've started the process. And, I haven't talked to you since this happened. I was going to say for the regular episode, but here we go. What do I care? Not going with tweed, only because it wasn't available. The guy making the suit said he went to three different places, and he's just talking about how... He's like, it's hard to get. None of the suppliers have tweed in Southern California. He's like, because
supply chain, man.
Yep.
It's affected everybody.
He's like, it's more of an East Coast thing. It's more of a UK thing because of the weather. He's like, no one is making clothes out of tweed in Southern California. I was like, well, yeah, I understand.
I think we discussed that. Yeah, it's going to be a warm one.
Yeah, and I'm still like, I still wanted, I don't know, I just like the way it, how thick it was and everything. Anyway, still going with wool, going with like a thinner wool, and I'm going with kind of a royal blue. And we're going to do kind of a throwback, a little bit of a 70s style suit with some real wide lapels. And royal blue, wool, and from scratch, not altered, but tailored. So he measured me, and he's going to make a suit from scratch. And then I had to explain to him, you know, look, I just lost 30 pounds, but I'm going to lose about 25, 30 more. And we need to, and he was just like, yeah, okay. He looked like he didn't have any confidence in me. I was like, no, seriously, dude, I'm going to lose at least 20 more pounds. So, you know, when you're doing your measurements, just account for that. And he was like, well, I'll make the suit as is, and we can always alter it.
You're going to be like a prize fighter the night before your wedding. You're either going to be vomiting or binging to just make weight just for the suit.
Yeah, and I told him, though, seriously, dude, like, make it smaller than I am right now, and that'll be on me to get into it.
Dave had to eat his donut tower the night before to fill out the suit, and he lost a little too much weight. He wasn't gonna make weight, so we had to get him up to par.
Oh man, but yeah, so the wheels are in motion with the royal blue wool, a three-piece suit, by the way. Got the vest going too. So yeah,
hell yeah,
stoked. We'll see.
Wool in Palm Springs.
Yeah,
brave move.
Well, it's still pretty thin. It's a lot thinner than I'd prefer. But he was convinced me. He's like, look, we'll put a lining in it. It's going to be thicker than what he had the sample. He's like, it's obviously going to be thicker than what you're holding right now. You know, once we put the lining in.
And I think listen to the tailor, man. Listen to the expert on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I want to take this question from Wiener Soup.
Wiener Soup, right on.
Just because handle. That one got me. He says, have we talked about barbecue sauces before? Oh, I'm sure we have, Wiener Soup. From what I've gathered, it's a good rub or bust from Dave. Good rub and bust for Kyle. Mm-hmm. That's a hand job joke. But surely there's a go-to sauce for some occasions for you guys. Maybe a different sauce for different occasions. What's a sauce that just pisses you off for existing? Myself, I just get mad at the sight of Heinz barbecue sauce if it's the only barbecue at a restaurant or food stand has, with Kraft being a close second. Oh, so he didn't like seeing the generic stuff just sitting out there for the taking.
I get that.
Understood. Understood on that. This is definitely your wheelhouse, Dave. I don't mind cheap shit.
Huh.
I don't mind it.
That's a good question, though. What's a sauce that pisses you off? I don't like any bottled or pre-made ranch dressing. It just, I don't know. I've never had a good bottled ranch dressing.
And, a little burnt out on ranch in general.
Yeah, a good homemade ranch. If I dare say so. Yeah, I get that. I get it. But the homemade is so easy and so delicious if done right that the bottle shit always kind of annoys me. I'm trying to think. A1 to me tastes like it has floor cleaner in it.
A1. We were talking about that.
Tastes
I was surprised
like Pine Sol.
Yeah, you don't like the A1.
Nah, I don't like the A1. I don't mind the 57. I can handle the 57 a little bit. The A1 I don't like. Man, this is probably not a popular opinion, but you know what sauce really annoys me? And talk about lack of versatility. Tartar sauce. Okay, you got some really good fish and chips. I'll dip a battered cod in there, but like, other than that, what the fuck are you doing with tartar sauce?
What are you supposed to be doing with it?
Most sauces, though, have, you know, are multi-purpose. You could dip a French fry in there, you could put it on a sandwich, whatever.
Who's telling you can't do that with tartar sauce?
I'm saying who would want to? It doesn't fit with anything.
You would take a big old steak fry from your fish and chips, put in tartar sauce?
If there was a ramekin, a homemade ranch right next to it, I'd never even look at the tartar sauce.
I mean, I can't jump on you here. We're talking personal opinions. I always enjoy a little tartar sauce when it comes to the seafood.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it if I'm eating fried fish. My point is just, it's There's nothing else really I'd want to put it on. Although, I guess you could make the argument, how's it much different than mayonnaise if you put it on a sandwich, but I don't know.
Would you do that? Would you do that with a tartar sauce?
If I didn't have any mayonnaise, yeah.
Tartar sauce with a land meat.
Like a ham and cheese with a little tartar sauce on there. I mean, I'd do that before I'd eat it dry, but
or like a burger.
Nah, I can't see it working with a burger. I don't know why. And I don't
maybe
know
like
why,
a chicken, like in place of a cucumber tzatziki type of thing.
Ooh, and I do like the tzatziki. Okay, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, what's man. I'm just trying to.
What's the chunky shit in tartar sauce? Is that pickles? Diced pickles?
I mean, this is a thing I would expect you to answer. Let me go to it. I'm going to the boards. Sauce. Let's go to a tartar sauce recipe. So you've clearly have not made tartar sauce for yourself.
No.
It's made with mayonnaise, chopped pickles, capers, and herbs such as tarragon and dill. Now, really, how much different is that from a tzatziki or something?
I think it's the caper flavor that I find a little off-putting, because obviously I have no problem with pickles or mayonnaise.
Maybe all right, so let's talk about a tartar sauce variant that works on a meat dish. Mayonnaise with the chopped pickles, because I'm a big Branston's pickle sauce fan, which is just this nasty shit from England. And you're supposed to put it on cheese. I'll just eat a spoonful of it. It's disgusting. I love it. But yeah, any other kind of breaded item? Why does it go? Yeah, what makes it? Why does it go with the fish so much?
Yeah, I don't know. Here's another sauce that was huge 20 years ago. And fortunately, it feels like it's kind of dying out a little bit. You don't hear about it as much. And I never gave two shits about honey mustard. Just
wow.
Never did it for me. Never really? Did it for me. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it, you know? Like if you hand me a chicken tender that's already been dipped in honey mustard, I'm going to eat it. But that's one of the last dips I'm looking for when I'm trying to dip a chicken finger or something.
What do you put on like a, say you're making like a, you're making a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Ham, turkey, salami, whatever. Mm-hmm. What's your lubricants on there?
Oh, definitely mayo.
Your Duke's
like
mayo.
Doing anything like that, I'm going mayo and spicy mustard. Those are my two. And
spicy then, mustard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Spicy mustard. Brown mustard, spicy mustard, whatever.
What about a spicy honey mustard?
Eh. Publix used to have, I say used because I haven't been there for years. I don't know if they still do, but Publix had a spicy honey mustard that they would put on their handmade subs, and it was just too much. It was like honey mustard with a ton of horseradish or some shit.
Yeah,
like it was a lot to deal with. It just overpowered everything. So the spicy overpowers. The sweet is just, to me, always a little off-putting. I don't know.
I realize now, for just through this question and what you said, I realize I'm pretty okay with all the sauces, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I got a sauce that's putting me off. No off-putting sauces for your boy here. I'll tell you what, I don't need to hear any more about truffle anything.
Yeah, truffle. Yeah.
Ooh, these are truffle fries. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
What? I never know the difference between truffle fries.
You can't taste
just,
the truffle?
Why don't I just eat the extra $2?
It's got a pretty distinct taste. And again, don't hate it, but I don't see what the big hubbub is about fucking truffles.
I mean, I get that they're hard to find, but for being that hard to find and that much more money, it should be a flavor where I'm like, oh, thank God we got those pigs that can find these.
Yeah.
Otherwise, well, give those pigs a break. I don't need any truffle fries. But yeah, like barbecue sauce, I understand the importance of it on a finely made barbecue, but if I'm just trying to change up my shitty hot dogs, I'll throw a little Kraft barbecue sauce in there. I don't care.
I tell
ketchup,
you,
ketchup, love it. People got to leave good, ketchup alone. It's fine.
A good bottled barbecue sauce is Sweet Baby Ray's. They make a decent one.
Yes, Sweet Child Raymond's.
Keep a bottle of that on hand in case of emergency.
We did have some of that here. Well, we got into that one, Wiener Soup. Good question.
Hell yeah, man. Here's a good question from Mike. You're able to relive an experience in your life again as if it was your first time. Maybe it's a certain TV show or a movie or a concert. What do you pick? Parentheses, I swear I asked this in a previous thread and something happened to it and caused it to disappear. That's okay, Mike. Man, I've never even heard or contemplated this question. If you could relive a moment in your life. Huh.
A moment. How long is the moment, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you build things up with nostalgia and retrospection. Is that a word?
I think so.
I mean, I feel like the first time I saw a screeching weasel and found a new type of music when I was 16. I just remember that whole night being something like fun. I remember it so specifically. But then it turned into like any concerts from high school, any $5 all ages shows. Like we were always having the best time. I was thinking about that today, bike ride, because I just finished reading Mark Lanegan's autobiography. He was the singer from the Screaming Trees. Yeah.
He was in Queens of the Stone Age a little bit too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I knew Josh Hum was in Screaming Trees. But I wound up getting that book because Mishka Shubali, who's a comedian, musician, and writer, actually was like the editor, kind of compiled that book, and he sent it to me. So I didn't know that much about it. But so I'm reading all about that grunge era, and like, oh, that was the time that I was in high school, was like started in 91, graduated in 95.
Yeah.
But I kept thinking about like all this grunge music. Like I'm like in high school. I was aware that youth was fleeting, and that the whole angsty youth thing. I didn't have it. I'm like, oh, I need to have fun now, because I was very aware that jobs and bullshit were coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all that grunge music, as much as like sonically, I like some of them. Like. Fucking Pearl Jam singing about like school shooters and shit, man. I'm trying to have a good time. I'm trying to listen to like all this pop punk and fun and people out having a great time and none of this mopey heroin shit. And so that concert, like that was sophomore year, and that started like every weekend going to shows. So I think that a collection of moments would be going to, all ages shows when nobody was thinking about, oh, I got to get stoned or I got to get drunk. Like, no, we just go to these things and we have the best time.
Yeah.
So I'd say that that's for me.
Yeah. I had a very similar situation. I, soon as I turned 16, I started, cause I didn't drink or party in high school. So I had this, I had this little clique of buddies who, all we gave a shit about other than sports was music. And we would go down and see $5 shows all the time in Atlanta, but more on the metal side than the punk stuff. But, yeah, just the spontaneous fun of like, you know, hey, who are we going to see tonight? You know, just the day of like flipping through the newspaper, flipping through the free weekly, like who's in town tonight that we can go see for $7, you know, at a under 21 show.
Yeah.
Man, that was was fun.
And that and then graduating high school and like going to bars and getting beers snuck to you at like places, but before people had work and girlfriends and actual college and shit. I think I follow this stuff on Reddit that's all like anti-work and anti-capitalist and like how you're expected like this, you know. You know, just people like do the math of how much you sit in rush hour and how much you work and how much overtime you work and how much I'm like, oh, yeah, I fucking figured that shit out early on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'll put all my eggs in this comedy basket because what's the worst case scenario? It fails and I just have to get a job?
Yeah. Oh, well, at least you tried.
Yeah. So I just like, at least I got to at least give it a swing for the fences on it. But anyway, how'd that start? Oh, that moment. Yeah. I think you. That's fucking just youth.
Mm-hmm. Still it would be fun. I can't think of a specific moment I'd want to relive, but I guess now it would be fun to maybe relive the first day of high school, like go back just knowing that I've got an out at the end of the day. I can go back to my normal life, but just to go back and just witness it and laugh at myself for all the anxiety and whatever, like, oh yeah, dude, none of this really is going to matter. Like, do your best while you're here. But like, it is crazy how, like, when you're young, you just can't see the future for the most part. Like, I thought about the future in kind of a big picture way, but like my whole teenage experience was just like, oh, I'm not going to live to be 25 or 30. Why am I going to worry about that? Not that I had some death wish or anything, but it just felt like, oh, that's just that's the distant future. Why would I even worry about that shit? But I don't know. It'd be fun to relive that through my 44-year-old eyes.
They always say like youth is wasted on the young, but I think that's also because if you're you start high school when you're 14, I think 13 or 14. So you've only had 14 years on Earth, and of that, 10 years of maybe memory.
Yeah, if that. Yeah.
So how could you even envision in 10 years, that's basically half of the life you can remember?
Yeah.
You have to think of yourself as twice as old as you are. And it's not, now it's easier when you're older. 5 years ago, 5 years ago feels like 6 months ago to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can learn to catalog memory and like where you were, and you've collected more things in your life, not only memories, but physical things. I could be like, oh, I remember when I got that. I'm in my room now. That guitar. I remember the day I bought that guitar. I remember, the day I bought that video game or whatever. Because you can catalog that stuff more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's so hard when you're younger to figure out what the future is supposed to be. You're like, well, I've only been around for a little while.
Yeah.
My 20s, I don't know, I'll probably just have two fake hips and grandkids by then, because you don't understand how quick things go by. And now, I knew that early on, too. Doesn't make time move any slower or faster. It just makes you go like, fuck, man, I got to make the most of all these things. I feel like a fucking idiot on my mountain bike when everybody's half my age going off jumps. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's fun. And I think I wish I wouldn't have been so intimidated thought it was like, oh man, I'm too cool to do this kind of stuff or express my emotions for my friends or people I care about.
Yeah.
That I wish I was more mature about when I was younger. Everything else, I'm glad I was a fucking idiot. I had a great time being an idiot.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to be a moron.
Still doing it.
Oh, let's see here. I had one lined up. Oh, Chad Newsom. Question for Dave. What do you think of the Southeastern fast food chain Cookout? It's a local favorite, but I think the menu takes a little know-how to navigate. For example, it's not immediately apparent that you can do a specialty burger or Cajun fries in the Cookout tray. You ever been to Cookout, Kyle, in the Southeast?
I did. I remember being so excited that it was called Cookout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the problem with Cookout. Much like a regular Cookout, it's a great idea in theory. Hey, you're having a Cookout? Burgers, dogs, a grill, cold beers? I'm there. And then you get there, and it's like, thanks for having me, but this burger is pretty mediocre, Todd. Like, that's how I feel about Cookout. Like, it does have that backyard Cookout taste to it, because it's charbroiled or whatever, but it's also, like, it's kind of mediocre, much like your average Cookout.
Yeah, it's made by a guy that's had 5 beers, and he's disappointed because he's watching his son play catch in the yard, and he thinks he might be gay, going by the way he throws.
Yeah.
You can taste that in that Cookout burger.
And he's smashing the meat, squeezing all the juices out of it, flipping it too much. Your average goober mending the grill at your average neighborhood Cookout really doesn't know what he's doing. He thinks he does, because that's a guy thing. Guys just think that, you know, instinctually I know how to cook a steak or a burger. And there might be some primitive instinct connected to that, but you still got to have a little bit of know-how and a little bit of skill, and your average goober doesn't know how to do that. And that's kind of how I feel about cookout. Like,
it's weird that it's such a dude thing to be like, grill, fuck yeah, I'm a guy, I'm going to grill. Would you like to bake something? Oh, man, that's for, like, chicks. It's still controlling fire.
Yeah.
And more so, you're controlling fire in your own home, so it's even more dangerous. Yeah. You ever think about that? Your oven is just a box that can get 500 degrees, and it's just right in your house.
Yeah, yeah. It is crazy.
Like the construction of that. Mm-hmm. That just, it's snug. It's snug against other things.
Yeah.
There's shit right next to a box that's 500 degrees.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Play, sit in front of it. Who cares? You got kids running around. 500 degrees.
Oh, man.
Yeah. How disappointed are you when I say this? I think we're going to get a gas grill for the house here.
That's all right. I mean, look, I'm talk about like a guy thing. The machismo connected to your method of grilling. Like, yeah, I prefer, you know, a charcoal grill, but the convenience of a propane grill is unmatched. Yeah. It's very convenient.
I'm not gonna like, pyramid sculpt my briquettes just to heat up one piece of shit veggie dog.
Yeah.
I just want to turn it on and cook it. And we got, this house has an electric stovetop, which is just, neither of us care for it, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't like electric that much.
Yeah. So, like a gas grill, we're going to get a used gas grill just to be able to, like, yeah, let's fire up a thing real quick.
No, I totally get that. So, good for you, buddy.
We're thinking about it. We'll see. We'll get in there. I'll answer this one quick. Ghost milk. Kyle, you ever plan on getting hitched? No. thought about it.
So much joy in that answer.
Yeah. Fucking. Why? No offense, Dave. The bit I've been working on is like, I don't know why anybody would want to ruin a perfectly good relationship by getting married. No, I'm wearing my Manly Bands ring, though.
I saw that on your shredding video, by the way, which was gnarly. I enjoyed watching you shred, and I saw you had the wingman, the black rubber one.
I put the little silicone one on. I had to send the other one back to get a smaller size, but
yeah, me too.
I was wearing a ring on this, like any kind of ring anyway, on that finger. Listen, I love Rachel very much, and we're in it for the long haul, but there's Like I said, we were thinking about it. Like, we might have had to do it for insurance, because that's a great place that we're in with America. Is that, well, for health care? All right, I guess we'll do this legal thing that'll put stress on a relationship. But anyway, that's my answer there.
No, but not to put you in the hot seat here, but what is the school of thought for just not wanting to make it official? No judgment either. I'm just, just curious.
Okay. I know, and I'm excited for you being excited about your wedding, and I don't want, this is not an outward judgment. This is my feelings towards the institution. I don't see it as being anything necessary, and I see it as, knowing myself, just something that would complicate a situation unnecessarily. Like, it's the bad metaphor I've used, but it's like, say you're in a room and it's the best room. It's got everything you want in that room. You never want to leave that room for as long as you live. It's the best room and you never want to leave it anyway. But now somebody puts a lock on the door to that room. Now all you can think about is like, man, I wonder what's outside that room. That's what marriage seems like to me. Everything's great. I don't want to change a single thing. Why would I want to flip that switch in my head that says now you're never going to leave?
Yeah.
I have no plans on leaving. Why would I mentally do that to myself? And
no, I get
Rachel
it.
And I have both. I've told Rachel, we're like, do you want to get married? Because I love you, I will do this. She's like, I don't want to do it. If you want to get married, I'll do it because I love you. So neither one of us care about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. I get, like, the, you know, if you want to get meta about it, like, you know, why do we need documents and the government involved, you know, you know, in our union here? And I'm pretty sure a couple of years ago, Katie and I were talking about this, and she had a similar similar opinion as what you just stated. Like, you know, why do we need to? But I think over time we both just kind of drifted towards the premise of, you know, making it official with a marriage, the commitment involved in that. And I know, you know, you can get divorced, but I think just the symbolic commitment of, like, hey, we're going to make this official, you know, be that as it may. Like, I totally see both sides of it, but also on a personal level, it's like, sure, you know, if you want to make, you know, make this official and make it some sort of symbolic commitment thing here, you know, I'm fine with that. So,
I'm it's like, how many weddings have I been to with two sets of parents on each side of the aisle? Like, how many stepmoms and dads have you met at a wedding to be like, whoa, why? No, this doesn't work.
Yeah. No,
it's more because I know myself too. I don't want to do that to myself.
Yeah.
Beef Swellington might have won the handle. Might have won the handle for this whole thing.
I think that's the winner right there.
Dave, what are your Southern breakfast essentials? I didn't read this question for. I think we've gone over this already. But Southern breakfast essentials. If it's not an all-star with cheese, eggs, and hash browns, I'm thinking it's got to be biscuits, sausage, gravy, and grits. I mean, this seems like it's a quick one to answer for you.
Yeah, real quick on that all-star, he's referring to Waffle House, and I've gone on record as saying how much I love Waffle House. The only thing that keeps Waffle House from being at the top of the food chain, no pun intended, in terms of Southern breakfast, is the biscuits. They used to not even have biscuits, which was probably a good choice considering. Now, granted, I haven't been to Waffle House in a couple of years, but the last 5 or 10 years, I noticed they introduced a biscuit on the menu, and it's just this monstrosity that they throw on the flat-top griddle to heat up. It's just, they're out of their lane with the biscuits. So anyway, right. Love Waffle House, but it's not my go-to, you know, it's not my death row breakfast meal because of the biscuits. If I'm talking Southern breakfast, there's got to be some sort of awesome biscuit involved. But yeah, I think if I'm just going to piece together, you know, well, maybe not even piece together, it's more of an entree. But yeah, not necessarily the most popular Southern breakfast, but one that I would put towards the top. Give me a chicken fried steak and eggs, or a country fried steak and eggs. Or chicken fried. I was thinking Cracker Barrel has chicken fried steak, and they also have chicken fried chicken. Either one of those. Country fried steak and eggs, oh boy. Some nice soft scrambled eggs, maybe some grits, a nice biscuit, little country fried steak with a white gravy, oh boy.
Who's got the best biscuits in the game outside of your own?
Probably Bojangles. Bojangles biscuit, even though it's a fast food chain, I don't see how you can do better than that. It's it's a superior biscuit. It's so great. Hardee's Carl's Jr., very solid for a fast food biscuit. But in terms of, like, biscuits I've had in a restaurant, I always refer to back to Big Bad Breakfast. Big Bad Breakfast is the breakfast king. If you're lucky enough to be in Nashville or Charleston or Birmingham, go to Big Bad Breakfast. They have three different gravies, Kyle. Three different gravies.
What's okay? The sausage gravy.
They got a white sausage gravy. They got a tomato gravy that is insane. Just so good. It's kind of somewhere between like white gravy and tomato sauce. It's, oh boy, so good. And then they have a red eye gravy made with black coffee. Oh,
ooh,
man. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be down there.
That's some old school.
We'll be down there in December.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh, Big Bad Breakfast. Good times.
All right. John Baker says, do you guys have any lyricists that have influenced you or your work? Word economy is critical in good lyrics. Andrew Savage of Parquet Courts is really clever, slyly evocative. And the music is solid, too. It is. I do like them, those Parquet Courts.
I know Parquet Courts.
Yeah, good. Almost good kind of, they were on the radio today when I was listening to them. Huh. It was a new wavy type of thing. Yeah, I'm way too verbose in my stand-up. I take 5 minutes to get a 1 minute thought out.
Yeah, me too.
So there are absolutely. I think old Rhett Miller in the old 97s. I think that guy knows how to spin a phrase real well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nightclub's a fantastic song. I'm going in, that's back catalog there, but. Country guys always kind of nail it. Country artists.
Oh, yeah. For me, it'd be Mike Cooley of the Drive-By Truckers. I just love talk about turning a phrase. And he's got such a weird, sly sense of humor that, like some of these lyrics that are funny and you don't even realize they're funny until you heard them the third or fourth time. Like, oh, yeah. I get that. Like, double meaning. Yeah. Just, he's great. Patterson Hood. A big fan of his style, Jason Isbell, all from the same fucking band. But
there's a reason they were such a solid outfit.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Mike Cooley, probably number one for me, even though I don't know if I could say he's influenced my work, but as, we're all writers, whether you're writing country lyrics or jokes, you know, so I have an appreciation for anybody that can get their point across in as few syllables as possible.
Yeah, I can't, I'm not thinking anybody off the top of my head, but that's a good question and just something to think about in general is look at how well, especially to be a singer, songwriter, musician on top of it and then know how to really scrape all the bullshit off a sentiment and put it into a song.
Yeah. Another obvious one for me, John Prine. John Prine, much like Cooley, like funny, like sly, deceptively funny. Like a lot of John Prine songs, both in the lyrics and the tone are often very somber and sad, but even in that somber tone, he manages to throw in some humor. And man, he was so good at that.
I was listening to a band called Sprainard. They had some real good.
Oh, yeah?
Just when that rail, like when the dirt replaces the sky, was a great way to talk about death.
That is a good line.
Just because I was just listening to that just now. But, whew. Pick one, Dave. I feel like I've been picking too many.
Okay. We probably should wrap this up anyway.
All right.
Let me see here. Alex Wynn, best bathrooms, rest areas, truck stops in the country.
Oh, man.
Flying J.
Flying J is an across-the-board stop?
Yeah, I think that's a national truck stop. And then what's the other one? Loves. The two main ones are Loves and Flying J. Both are pretty solid. I've talked about Flying J. I was a card-carrying member of the Flying J Club where I got discounts on showers. And seriously, if you're driving cross country or several day trip and you need a shower, man, Flying J or Loves, it's like $10. You get your own private. It's your own private bathroom. It's got a nice shower, toilet, sink. The whole thing's completely private, and you get it for up to an hour. So you can just stay in there for like an hour. It's like $10, and oh man, best $10 I've spent out on the road.
I have not taken a truck stop shower yet, but I would assume that the reputation for the, like, if it's shitty, would get around. So they have to kind of maintain.
Yeah.
There's a pride and a respect for truck drivers in that culture.
Absolutely.
And those truck stops in the middle of nowhere, like, they got to be up to snuff for those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have a home to go back to when they're, you know, long haul trucking. That's where they got to go shower and clean up. I would assume they'd have to make those places, pretty tidy for those folks.
In terms of retail, Barnes and Noble has great bathrooms. If you could find a Barnes and Noble.
Yeah. Nobody's going to a bookstore anymore. Yeah. I feel like they'd be worse because people be taking books to go read in the shitter and just really roughing it up.
Yeah, I think they stay on top of that, though. It's like George Costanza got busted trying to take a book into the bookstore bathroom.
And he, oh, yeah.
And then he was like, it's entrapment. You got muffins, reading material. It's entrapment. Of course I got to go to the bathroom.
I'll say if you ever find yourself up in San Luis Obispo area, stop by that Madonna Inn, go pee into a waterfall.
Nice.
That's their public bathroom, right for part of the. I mean, you should just go there anyway because it's a fun, silly place. Have you been, Dave?
No, I have not been.
Oh, been buddy, to. I heard you it's and great. Katie love taking weekend trips. You got to You got to do some Madonna Inn. They got a heated pool too, so you could wait till it's kind of chilly out and still enjoy hanging out in the heated pool.
I like that.
Got the restaurants, ridiculous. The whole place looks like a Katy Perry video. And then the rooms have like the rock waterfall and stuff, but that's the rooms you get. But the main bathroom in the place, just a big, the urinal is a big waterfall.
Man.
Stand there peeing into a waterfall. It's great.
Speaking of which, if we won that $500 million, one of my rich guy fantasies has always been to have a floor length urinal in my own bathroom. The ones that go all the way down to the floor. A regular urinal would be nice to have in your home bathroom, but the floor length one, oh man, takes all the pressure off. Just let it flow. It's gonna be fun.
I do. Yeah, I see where you're at, and I dig it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One day, man, I'm gonna have a fucking urinal.
I mean, there's a joy in the pee trough at a stadium too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something fun about it. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if it's the camaraderie, bunch of dudes like, man, peeing in the trough, having fun at the game.
First time I ever saw another man's penis. Little kid at the Braves
Stadium.
Not
the last
stadium.
Time, though.
I was like 5, went into the public bathroom and they had the trough, and I just looked and there was like 10 dicks, and I was just like, This is weird. I don't think I'm supposed to be looking at this.
Yeah, keep looking straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go swiveling, but you know, there's a video of a dude, I think it was Wrigley Field, where everybody's just cheering him on, and he just does a fucking home run slide through the piss trough.
Oh, no.
Was one of the gnarliest videos I've ever seen.
Why would you do that?
Because you're drunk. Because you're baseball stadium drunk. And that's a special kind of drunk.
That is. That's next level.
Oh, man.
Well, should we lay in this plane?
Yeah, I think so. I'm seeing some statements that are made here. Kyle Luigi says, Kyle, don't know if you're familiar with any amateur wrestlers, but there's one guy who wrestles for ICW named Neil Diamond Cutter. I think might be a lost relative of yours. I just like Neil Diamond Cutter. Solid name.
It is.
Still some good ones in here. We'll get to them eventually next time. Thank you for your patience, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is August is. We suck. This is real late, so our apologies. But we'll try to get you another one in September to kind of get ourselves caught up.
A lot of bouncing, a lot of traveling. You know how it goes. Dave's getting married, everybody. Get off our ass.
Yeah, get off our ass. But seriously, patrons, thank you so much for your support. We certainly do appreciate that. So, yeah, keep doing your thing, and we'll keep showing up here, queuing you right in the A. So. Here we go. Buddy, I guess I'll talk to you tomorrow when we get back on the regular routine.
Yeah, man. Here's my new sign-off because I was listening to ICP again. Uh-huh. I hope the Juggalos find God. that's the refrain from the song.
Nice.
Hope the Juggalos find God.
Well said. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.